All right. So nice to be here this morning. Are you happy to be here? Can you smile? Perfect. I love when people smile because that makes me feel better. I don't know. Every time that I get up here, I get nervous. And especially when I see, like, very serious people. Especially the ones that are thinking, what are you doing up there? Are you a pastor? I remember once I was at my old church, and one day I decided to stand on the door and start greeting people. And I remember one guy came, and as soon as he got in, he was like, and I stretched I gave my hand to him, and I say, hi, good morning. And he took my hand, oh, hi. He was looking around. And I say, are you looking for somebody? Yeah. And he say, yeah. Who are you looking for? And he said, I'm looking for the pastor. I'm standing right beside him, and I say, what do you need him for? He said, I want to know the pastor. And I say, well, I'm the pastor. And he look at me, no, seriously, I'm looking for the pastor. I won't forget that day. I don't know why, but it's stuck on my mind. So every time that I'm standing here, I always think, people might think, who are you? But you know what? That's okay, because I love that instead of people looking at me, look at the glory of God, how he can be revealed through any vessel. That God can use us, but if we are willing to flow with his spirit, he will flow all the time. And let me tell you, every time that I have the opportunity to preach, I have seen the power always, not because of me, because my desire and in my heart is to see the glory of God. Amen? Well, if you have your Bible with you, I'm going to ask you to go to the book of Romans chapter 1. And we're going to read a few scriptures. Romans chapter 1, verse 18. As I was preparing for this morning, this week, I don't know if you heard the news, but this week was a terrible week around the world. I got really impressed with what happened in France now, what's going on down there. And fear, the spirit of fear, it's moving all around the world, everywhere. And then we heard what happened in Turkey, and that was another expression of the things that happened around the world. And as a Spanish-speaking person, I always pay attention to the news on South America, and believe me, what's going on down there right now, it's the spirit of fear moving everywhere. And what I got in shock to see how all the evil things are happening around. And I don't want to focus my preaching this morning about the evil things, but we need to understand how these things move in order to flow with God. And sometimes because of the lacking of understanding what's going on around the world, that doesn't help us how to flow with the Holy Spirit. I believe this is one of the greatest times that we are living for revival. Yeah. This is the time that the church has the greatest opportunity to shine as never before. Right. But if we don't see what's going on around the world, instead of feel the challenge to say, yes, I have the light of Jesus that flows through me, what we'll see, and when we hear the news, we will feel like fear, like that church is moving backwards. And that might happen if you believe that lie. But when you realize that you have the power of God, then everything starts changing. So you feel like right now you have been under attack. That's how the devil wants us to feel us all the time. And if you believe that lie, you will feel always like discouraged, tired, feeling like going nowhere. But when you see the power of God flowing through you, everything is going to start to change. Now, if we keep that in mind, I want to read on verse 18. Romans chapter 1, verse 18, it says, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness, since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature has been clearly seen, been understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. Basically, what this scripture is saying, if you say, I don't believe that God exists, that's because you made a decision in your mind, is that you don't want to believe it. But according to what we are reading, as soon as you see around you the creation of the world, it has to bring your mind to a conclusion. Somebody created all these things. There's a creator behind. If you say no, there's no creator, somebody who created all these things. If you decide to think that way, you are going against God. Because that creation, and you read Psalms chapter 19, you will see that the Bible says that creation is even shouting and saying about the power of God, how it has been revealed in everything. You don't even need to have a communion with God every day, but you have to realize every day that everything has been created by somebody. We rather try to believe that some like a magical way everything was created in that way. I have a watch here that it's really nice, actually. Nice watch. Can you imagine if one day I come to the church and I say, church, guess what? Today I was walking on the forest and I found this watch. And you know what I discovered after I found this watch? That nobody made this watch. It was created by itself. Nobody did anything. How many of you say amen? Some of you that sometimes you're not really paying attention, you're going to say amen. That always happens. I don't know why. Some people is thinking about beans or, Mexico. Vacation, holiday, something. But there's always somebody that says, amen! Well, but if you believe me, or if you say, yeah, that's true. Or, no, let me put it this way. Do you really believe that this was created by itself? Why not? It looks amazing. It's nice. It was created by itself. And you say, no, somebody made it. How do you know? Well, the way that it has been done, the screen, blah, 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 whatever, but you really believe somebody made it. Well, let me ask you this. This is a machine. Now, let me compare. This machine compared with this machine, which one is better?
Wow.
Some of you are pointing to here. I don't know why. The ones that are thinking that way, ask my wife. You're going to get in trouble. Which one is more complicated machine? This one. This one might stop one day, but this one keeps going. It's an amazing machine that is standing, and you can say, no, you are a coincidence. You are just an accident from nature. How can you not trust that this is a very simple machine? It was not created by itself, but sometimes a human being says, no, we are done just by coincidence. Wow, that's different. Now, take a look what we were reading here, because that changed everything. When you say, well, there's no creator behind, verse 20 says, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, what? His eternal power and divine nature has been clearly seen, been understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. Now, pay attention to verse 21. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave them thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fool, and exchange the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. Do you have the fruit in there? This is the thing. The nature all around us describes the glory and the power of God. And because of that, every single day, we need to be able to proclaim his glory, his power. That's why we come every Sunday. That's the reason why I'm sitting here. We don't come to be destroyed here. We came every day, every Sunday, to receive from his power, from his glory, and walk with that during the week. But if you deny that, not doing this, what happens is that your heart becomes full of darkness. You won't see. It's like walking blind from that point and on. It's not God's fault. It's our fault. I brought this prayer that it's in really bad shape. I'll show you. I think you don't want to eat this. It's in really bad. And I brought another one that is worse. I don't know if you can see it. I don't want to take it out of here, but it's really bad. The smell is going really bad. But let's pretend that God is sitting on his throne. And you are like this fruit. And you deny his glory. He wants to share with you. He wants to be at the table with you. But as soon as people say, I don't believe in God. He's nowhere. He doesn't exist at all. This darkness becomes that it's telling to yourself that you are not good for it anymore. Instead of God putting you as a fruit in him, he rejects this. Not because he wants. It's because you decide not to worship, not to give him the glory. And because of that, you are not good for to eat anymore. It was not God's fault. It's our fault as human beings. But this is just the beginning of something worse and worse and worse. Let's take a look what the Bible says. Verse 22. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal men and birds and animals and reptiles. The signs that will tell you that somebody is not giving the glory to God is that instead of looking for God, they start worshiping other things. Your job. You say, I'd rather go to work than going to church. Money is more important than nothing else. For some people, it's your wife, your husband, maybe your kids, maybe your house, maybe your car, maybe your trips. That's the first sign that there's something wrong. And then verse 24, therefore God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity, for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worship and serve create things rather than Creator who is forever praised. Do we have the garbage can? The first step, it was that you cannot eat it because you decide that God is not good for you. Because of that, God take you out of the table and throw you to the garbage because you're not good for eating. And because you're in darkness, now the mentality starts to change and is going down and down. But now, if this is happening at your house, are you going to leave the garbage there? Of course not. What the Bible says here now, verse 26, because of this, God gave them over to shameful lust. Even their women exchanged natural relation for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed indecent acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty of their perversion. So what happened at that level? Well, normally when you put something on the garbage, after you put it here, you take the bag. And what do you do with the bag? You put it outside the house, right? Just leave it there for a moment. But that's not the end of the story. Verse 28. Furthermore, since they did nothing worldwide to retain the knowledge of God, he gave them over to depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossip, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They are senseless, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Although they knew God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them. What was the last part? It has to come, the garbage guy, and take it out of your house. When you think about all these things, this last part that we were reading, that's exactly the mentality that is around the whole world. Getting away and away from God. Now bring the bag for me. But I have bad news for you, even worse. This is the way that God is dealing with this kind of people, but the bad news is that this mentality is not in the garbage out there. It's moving around the world and is the main way of thinking right now, everywhere. As soon as you turn on the TV and start listening or watching the news, you will see that this is the mentality. In other words, in God's eyes, they are away from Him, but they are around us. Right. It's not going away. It will stay. And I put it this way. It will stay in our earth, in our table, every single day. What do we do? The smell is there. How do we change these things? Well, if you were paying attention when we start to read these verses, everything starts giving thanks to God and giving the power, the honor, the glory to Him. I was reading that in the States in 1963 was when prayer was removed from the classrooms. In 1963, today is 2016, it has passed already 53 years. Do you know how old Obama he is? Do you know the age of him? He's 54. He's 54. Donald Trump is 70 years old. And when in 1963 prayer was removed from classrooms, what happened is that that generation, kids that were born in that time, and the guys that were studying in the university in that time, the period of university from new babies to people in universities, that people right now, they are the ones that are in power right now. Donald Trump in that time, he was 17. That means finishing high school. And when you start to look, the people that it's in power, now they are proclaiming new laws. And you know what? The governments around the world, now they are having issues with people that are right now in the schools from 3 years to 25 years, 26 universities. People that are killing right now, the shootings in the schools, everywhere that you look around, the problem is with youth people. That generation is having problems with this generation. Now, imagine this new generation in future, how they're going to deal with the problems in future. Wow. I'm bringing this stuff because I really want to see how we can deal with this problem. Because it's not something that we need to face out there. We need to start here at church. And we need to get answers for this world. And we need it now. I'm concerned about the next generation, what we're passing to them. And we are responsible. This is what I feel in my heart. When they were not giving thanks to God, one of the things that I feel in my heart that is happening in the church, I have the opportunity to talk sometimes to giving sometimes sharing with people or giving counseling, it's funny because sometimes I ask people, if you want to thank God to God something for anything that he has done in your life lately, what will be the main thing that you will say right now? Oh, God made me free from this or that. And sometimes people cannot give answers because they say, well, I have nothing to thank God. He's like, I have nothing. I mean, nothing. And I ask sometimes, well, you are married. You have a husband. Tell me 10 qualities of your husband. Okay, 5. 1? And I say, tell me 10 things that he's doing wrong. Oof, they give me more than 30 right away, right at the moment. Because we are so good to see the negative things around. We are very good for that, but we don't give thanks to God for the things that we have. Like, I have a wonderful woman beside me. Oh, she's amazing. She takes care of me all the time. But if I pay attention to her mistakes or the things that sometimes she's not doing right because she made so many mistakes, you know what? I won't be standing here. Why? Because my mind gets stuck with the negative things, and because of that, I cannot praise God. And if you keep record of all the bad things, there are people, I can tell you. I remember I was talking with a woman one day, and she said, oh, I won't forget. I won't ever forget. It was November 17, 5:30 in the afternoon, 1985. I won't forget it. This man sitting here, oh, he started shouting at me, and I won't ever forget the way that he spoke to me. And he said, I have been asking you that you forgive me for so many years and you still keep it in your mind. Yeah, I won't forget it because that's stuck in my heart and mind. And you know what? That's our problems, that we keep record of all the bad things. And if we pray to God and he doesn't answer in the way that we see it, then we get mad with God. What is God? Where is God? It's not supposed that he has to answer. It's not supposed that he has to heal me. And because we are keeping all these bad records, what happens at the end, we are not able to say, thank you, God. And because we are not able to say thank you, our spirit became dark. Darkness around us start to move. And then we don't see it, but just little by little, step by step, you're moving away, and your mind starts changing. And then when you turn on the TVs, you say, yeah, well, the new mentality in the world, it's fine. It's fine. Yeah, everything is cool. Yeah, I need to accept what the way of the world is thinking. So I wonder myself, can you imagine one day somebody's going to say, can I get married with a cow? If it sounds weird, you don't know, it's happening right now. Yeah. I just heard a guy who got married with a crocodile. What? I just heard that in the news. And I thought it was just people making fun. No, that is happening. You know what? It sounds weird for us right now, things that are not normal, the things that sound normal right now, 30 years ago, it was wrong. And 30 years previous to that, it was even worse. But we are accepting because we are not giving thanks to God and not giving the glory to God. We are not communing, and we are not used to have a clean table where we see things that are clean. But because we are accepting this as a part of our daily life, this is normal. The Bible says that when a bad spirit came out from somebody, I would say when a spirit is possessing somebody and you remove that spirit, the Bible says that it goes around in dry places. I don't know how that works. It's hard for me to understand. But it sounds like when they get in the body of somebody, they are like, they feel like, please, because maybe it's because we have water, we don't know, but they come back. And they take a look. The Bible says that if they see the house clean, clean, but empty, they bring seven worse spirits than him, and they stay. And the Bible says that's exactly what is going to happen to this generation. And what's going on around the world right now is that demons are taking control. They are taking over because the church is not having an answer to this war. And this is a problem, and this is why I brought this today. Our unbelief in the church is growing and growing and growing. Europe right now is having the problem that churches have been closed, and there are not many Christians there anymore. We are not that far here in Canada. We are not that far. And we have believers, unbelievers. We are sitting in the church, but we don't believe anymore in the power of God. We do not proclaim his power and his mercy. And one of the things that I notice about our conversations as Christians, we don't talk about miracles. We don't spend time talking with other Christians about miracles, about the power of God. Instead, we just talk about our bad situations, about all the bad things that are happening around us. And we ask for somebody else to pray for us. And that, I'm not saying that that's bad. We need to do that as Christians. But the problem is that we are not talking about bringing the glory of God to our tables. Instead of taking away our unbelief, the only way that you take away this is that you start saying, Lord, you are the God of miracles. I'm a miracle. I'm here on this earth to proclaim your glory, to fulfill this earth with your power, with your mercy. But I need to believe. Yeah. Now, there are seven spirits, wars, trying to come against you. I'm going to ask seven people to come here right now. Can I have seven people standing right beside me here around me, please? Seven, one, two, three, four. I need three more, please, really quick, really quick, really quick. Do you have the fruit there with you? Can you put it on the table, please? This is what I found, and I'm doing this because I want to encourage you, church, to do this. Three, four. Okay, perfect. So if there are seven spirit wars that want to come against me and increase my unbelief and to be part of the system, this is what I need to do. And God revealed me this one day when we were worshiping God. He told me, I want to increase my power, but because there are hearts that don't believe, the only way to attack this is to come to somebody that is Christian and say, my brother, tell me a miracle that God has done in you. Give me, feed me with the power of God, what God is doing with you. After I hear this, I go to the next person. Tell me a miracle. Tell me something that fulfills my heart. And every time that I'm speaking to somebody and they share, and I hear, I open my ears. Every time that I hear it, my faith is increasing. The power flows through me. And then after seven people, if my unbelief keeps growing, I will start all over until I destroy that unbelief that is in me. And then when I see somebody that is sick, when I don't believe that God is going to move, then something is changing in me. God is going to change the world, but has to start with you removing what is not smelling good on your table. He has to clean your mind, your heart, and when you clean it, you're ready to take the earth. That's the way that we start revival. Revival comes when your heart is ready to see miracles. There was one guy who was, somebody asked him to go and pray for his relative that he was dying. He went and prayed. After one day, the guy was dead. He got another phone call. Can you come and pray? He went and prayed. After 3 days, the person was dead. And it happened like four times. On the fifth, he said, don't call me anymore. I'm just killing people. Don't call me. 2 weeks ago, I heard a Christian saying, I'm not going to pray for any sick person anymore. You know why? Because if God is not answering to my needs, how can I pray for others? And I told this person, you know what? It's not about your background experience. It's not about you. It's about who he is. And the only way that I can change that, I notice, is when you speak the word of God, when it comes out of your mouth, you are prophesying the power of God. And the spirits around you start to feel fear. And now you are not afraid anymore. Now they have fear because they are hearing, and because he's talking about that, I hear. And after that, I can start talking with faith, walking with faith. And this is the thing. We are like fruits, all of us. And after you have all these fruits together, the Holy Spirit. Now, on me. Thank you. And because of that, not only the power of God will be revealed in the creation, now won't be there. Now that power will start living in me. And because it lives in me, oh, this is amazing. Those palillos? Give it to them. Give it to them. And now, you know what? Now we're a community of strong Christians. Now, because of that, let me tell you, Cloverdale Church has been called to reach Europe, to reach Canada. But you know what? God wants to do that, but he needs the people that are sitting here every Sunday believe the power of God and move with that power. And then when they share, I can come and I can share. Take one. Just one, okay?
Thank you.
No, I'm just kidding.
Good dose.
Oh. Now, that's why you should be standing here with them. Of course. As I am sharing, now people that are out there, instead of making judgments from us, we share the love of God. Go for it. And you know what? That terrible smell that it came from your heart that didn't believe, now everyone wants to have a piece of you. Because you are amazing. The taste that you have, it's so amazing. And they want to be around you. So every time that you call a Christian, they would be happy to answer your phone calls. Because sometimes when they see your number, oh, man, this is the guy who's always complaining. You can say now, thank you so much. Well, thank you. Great. I'm going to leave it here for all of you if you want some at the end, okay? But this is the time that the church needs to change the way that we talk. He's more than excited to have a church that is the light of the world. He wants us to be the light of the world. Every time that you will hear the bad news, listen, it's not about what's going on out there. I gave you the first part just to give you an idea of where we are. But when you heard that, instead of getting afraid, walk with God. Let me put it this way. 2 weeks ago, I was here at church, and as we were worshiping, suddenly my ear, my right ear, started making a really weird sound, like a static sound. And the sound started to increase. That night, that Sunday, I went to the hospital, and they cleaned my ear. I'm sorry, that was in the morning, Monday morning. I went on the Monday morning, and that sound was getting worse. And as soon as I got to the hospital, they cleaned my ear. And the doctor said, are you okay? And I say, no. How do you feel? And I told him, it's getting worse. The sound is getting louder. And I got a sound that it was really high pitch. And as soon as he went out, after 5 minutes, the doctor come back and said, you know what, you need to go right now to the specialist. I just made a phone call and he's waiting for you. I took my car, I start driving, and I start shaking. I went to the specialist and he started checking my ears. Suddenly he took a chair and he said, we need to have a serious talk right now. When he said that, I was so afraid. And he said, you have a problem in your inner ear. And the bad news about this is that we don't know, doctors at this point, we don't know how the inner ear works. But let me tell you this, I'm gonna give you a prescription. This prescription might help you, but we don't know if this one will help you. And it might become worse after you take that prescription. So we don't know what's gonna happen. After all the bad news he said, he finished saying, do you have any question? I was going to ask him, do you have a knife? Because I need it right now. In that week, I have an accident on my work. Everything was getting really bad. And to be honest with you, I'm 45 years old now. And in 44 years, I never went to the hospital. This year, I had been in the hospital 3 times. The second time I went to the hospital because I was involved in a car accident in last February, and I almost was dead at that time. I'm here because of the miracle of God. And this one was the third one. When I left the office, I got in my car, and believe me, I was shaking. But I remember I put worship really loud because it was hard for me to hear it. I put it loud and I say, Lord, it's not about my health. It's about my relationship. And no matter what the devil is saying, because right now I can hear his voice loud and clear, but it's not about listening his voice, because your promise says that I can walk in victory. And it's not about my experience right now. It's about your power flowing in me. And I'm going to take this medication, but I don't believe in the medication. I believe in your power, and your power has to flow through me no matter what. I was trying to get a truck in that week for my work. I went to where they sell the trucks and to the dealer, and I saw a nice truck, and I was looking at the truck. Oh, that's so nice. My ear was like, yee! And I was thinking, that's nice. And they, when they gave me the price, I said, buy truck. And I was walking out of the dealer, and the guy said, hey, come. And I said, yes. Can you speak louder because I cannot hear? And he said, what kind of work you do? And I say, painting. Listen, he said, I don't know why, but I'm going to tell you this. Oh, that Sunday, actually, when I was having this problem here at church, we went to eat with my wife, and I saw a truck, exactly the one that I want. And I stretched my hand, and I remember I say to my wife, look, that's the truck I want. In Jesus' name, I declare that this is my truck, blah, blah, blah. And the guy say, you know what? I feel in my heart, I want to give it to you. Let's do a trade. Pay my shop, and I'll give you the truck. Oh, nice. Oh, wow. I was happy, and I was, yeah. But listen. I was, yeah. And I got in the car excited, but at the end I say, Lord, I need you to heal my ear. I don't need a truck at this point. And God told me, listen, I take care of you. I take care of you. I'm just answering what you pray for. The other one, it's my business. It's my problem. Let me put it this way, very simple. Right now, I went Friday to the doctor, this last Friday. They made a test, and they say, congratulations. You have 100% you recovered your ear. No noise, nothing. But let me tell you, right now, it's really nice to hear the clapping, but for 2 weeks, having this problem. Today I knew I was going to play in praise and worship, and I was excited, but I was going to call you to cancel and say, no, my ear is not good. But I decided not to quit because Pastor Randy asked me to preach, and I was going to say, no, I can't because of my ear. But I say, no, I'm going to walk by faith, and I'm going to stay walking by faith. But let me tell you, for 2 weeks has been really tough for me. But it's not about my experience. It's about who he is. And I'm going to proclaim his glory. And when I was in the middle of this pain and all these problems, I was praying and saying, Lord, I declare that this Sunday that I'm going to preach, your power is going to be there. Your glory is going to be there, no matter if my ear works or not. But I'm going to keep going forward. Listen, when I don't have the chance to talk to somebody that can give me miracles, I read books, I hear preachings, I try to keep myself believing. And this is the time that we need as church to say to everyone, please help me to change my unbelief. Because I want to be on the table of God, sitting at his table, enjoying his presence. How many of you want this morning? Just stand up, please. Just stand. Don't take nothing in your hands. In the book of Mark, it says that one man brought his son to Jesus. And this guy told Jesus, if you can do something for him, do it. And Jesus said, if you believe, all things are possible. And this guy said, yes, I believe. Help me with my unbelief. And I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. Because I felt really strong in my heart that some of you have felt discouraged because of the things that are going really bad in your life. There are situations that you felt like you are going nowhere. You have so many question marks. But God is saying right now to you, it's not about that experience. It's about where you are standing. Because I'm a good God. I'm not the one who brought all these bad situations. You have an enemy. And learn to listen to that voice that is not mine. Because I want to bring my power if you hear my voice. But I wanna ask you something. Just close your eyes and give thanks to God for something. Maybe you haven't given thanks to God about your wife for so long, for your family, for your church, for your pastor, for the good things that you received. And I want to ask you, everyone, just raise your voice and say, thank you, Jesus, and say the reasons why. Just lift your hands to heaven and say, thank you, Jesus. You have the power. You have the power in my life. I declare that you are moving on me. You are moving on me. Just keep your hands high because the power of God wants to flow through us. Oh, God, remove my unbelief. Yes, Lord. I don't want to be a believer that is unbeliever. I want to walk with you. I want to enjoy your presence. But this is a time that we need to believe that he is the one who gives us the power. Remove all that things that is rotten in your life.
Yes, Lord.
That smelly things that are not walking good with God, like your lack of faith. Now just raising your hands to God. Let him give you peace. God wants to give you peace right now.
You,
in the middle of whatever you are going through.
Thank you, Lord.
This is the church. God is calling to be used to transform Canada.
Yeah.
And you are his vessel. He wants to use you. You might say, well, there's nothing good in me. And that's what I thought about myself too for so many years. But now I know, no matter what, he wants to change the whole nation. If you speak only to one person, that might be probably at your job. You don't need to be a pastor. You just need to say, Lord, I want to proclaim. I want to be light. And I'm going to ask you, this is the last thing that I'm going to ask you. As you are raising your hands, I want you to feel how you are the light of the world. God doesn't have other lights. It's just you. And I want you to feel that you are that light. Nobody else is going to replace you.
Thank you, Lord.
Don't ask God to remove the bad things around you. No, he's not going to do it. He's going to make you a light and you're going to overcome this darkness. He actually put that things that are not good, but because you are light, this has to go away. That would be a dumb question to God. Can you remove these things? Because he's not going to do it. He wants you to be light. And because you have that power, you will remove it.
Thank you, Lord.
Everywhere that you go, darkness are moving away where you're standing. Darkness are getting out of your way because the light of Jesus is start to flow through you. And Father, I pray right now that our church will be a great light as never before. And I declare that in the middle of all the challenges that we have, each one of us, your glory will be seen and people will see that you are real. And the bad news that are we listening right now around the world, Father, thank you because we are the ones who are going to change the history of our nation and of the nations of the world because we are the light. And thank you, Father, because we believe. Now we believe and we give you the power and we give you the glory because you are the one who deserves to be honored. And Father, today, starting today, we sit at your table. And you are stretching your hands to us. And you are touching us, changing us. And because of that, Father, I pray that our church will be a church full of faith. Because we walk, we believe, we hear miracles. And we believe in Jesus' mighty name. Everyone says,